Harley Cathcart. It's fun to say Campbell Cathcart now. And for playing for us today, and Sarah playing beautiful trios for us this morning.
Amen.
As we look forward to celebrating Christmas, not only through music, but also through the Word of God. Before we read from our final passage of Scripture, let me pray and ask God's blessing upon the reading and the preaching of His Word. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Thank you for the amount of Scripture that we've been able to read today. Thank you for the way that it tells the story of your Son's birth, from precious promise to glorious fulfillment. Would you illuminate our hearts now as we hear your word proclaimed in this place? These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final passage is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. You may not immediately think of that as a Christmas passage, but it really is a theological reflection on what it means for Christ to be placed in the manger. Hear now the word of the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thus ends the hearing and the reading of God's holy word. May he be gracious to us this morning and his richest blessings upon us. Amen. Now, do you have a certain Christmas decoration, maybe something you hang on the tree that you put in a special place, away from pets, and away from small children, and away from anything else that might break it? We have such a thing in our house. It's really a manger scene. We have several manger scenes. We have like a play school one. We have kind of very common ones. But there's one that we set apart. We actually even sanctify it. It's one from a family member, Sarah's Aunt Vera. And we used to love visiting her. She lives over, used to live over by PC in Clinton. And she always had it beautifully displayed on her mantle, and we always glued an awd over it. And when she went to the Presbyterian home down there, she said, you know what, I'm going to give you all our manger scene. It's beautiful. It's white porcelain. Such detail on everything from the shepherd's crook to the wise men's gifts to their funny hats, all those sorts. It sort of captures your imagination. And we always put it in a place where no one can harm it. Not only that, I'm the only one who can get it out of the attic. I'm the only one trusted to do that, which is a little crazy. Because I have two fears in life. One of them is that I will die by a cobra. I had a weird dream when I was a little kid. Now, I'm thankful for Isaiah chapter 11 because it tells me in heaven I'll get to play with a cobra, so I'm looking forward to that. Also, the other one is death by attic stairs. You know what I mean? Well, and I'll tell you what. The other day, Tim sent his friend Derek to help us with a project at home, and he watched me go up the stairs, and he goes, Robert, you're going to die on those stairs. That's what he said. And so that day, he went to Lowe's and bought us a whole new kit and put in some new attic stairs because ours were so rickety. So anyway, all that to say is we take really good care of this particular manger scene. And as beautiful as it is, it's nothing compared to that first manger scene. The one that we see, it wasn't probably in a barn like we think of, like ours is. Probably in a grotto, a lower room of a big house, where they had animals stored, and the food stored for those animals. And the manger wasn't made out of gleaming porcelain. It was made out of simple wood. And there was hay on top of that, where animals would feed. But what makes this manger special, what sanctified this manger, was the one who was laid there. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus sanctified the manger. And here's the good news. Jesus sanctifies us, those who seek him by faith. That's the story of Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. Let's look with me at verses 15 and 16. Jesus sanctifies the manger. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And we can kind of feel the energy in this passage The angel's glorious song, the good news that this baby had been born in Bethlehem, propels these shepherds onward to seek Jesus and to find him. They don't wait around. We're told they go with haste to find the baby born that very night in the stable. And then they find Mary, his mother, and Joseph, and this little one lying in the manger. But they know he's no ordinary child. You remember what the angel said about him? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's right, Messiah, the son of David, has been born. He's a Savior, one who will fight their battles for them. But he's no ordinary hero. He's even greater than Moses, who led them out of Egypt. He's even greater than Joshua, his namesake, who led God's people over the Jordan and conquered the Promised Land. He's even greater than mighty judges like Gideon and Samson, or even Samuel. He's even greater than his father, David. You remember what he did? He conquered the nations surrounding him. He extended the borders of Israel south of the Nile, west of the Mediterranean, north of the Euphrates, and west, well past the Jordan. He's even greater than King Solomon, the one who was named the Peace. He's the King of Peace. His kingdom was so great, gold was everywhere, and precious silver and bronze were like nothing. But how much greater is our one true Savior? For he is Lord. He is God, the eternal Son of God, begotten of the Father, all glorious. He's the one sanctifying this manger, setting apart, and making it holy. You see, Philippians 2 has come about. Though he was in the form of God from all eternity, 100% God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, a thing to hold on to. But he emptied himself, not of his divinity, his divine nature, but veiled his glory for a time, like Moses veiling his face after he had seen God's glory at the tabernacle. How did he do it? He took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, like you and like me, not demanding outward glory deserved by a prophet or a priest or a king, but being conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a humble virgin named Mary, born to her in this cattle stall, and laid in this humble manger. What a picture, the humble life that he'll lead. Think about it. He's on the run at first. He's having to hide in Egypt as Satan unleashes the hellish Herod against him. Been around 30 years of anonymity in Nazareth, where he's obedient to his earthly parents and to his heavenly Father, living a life of poverty and suffering, all without sin. Yet as we read just a few moments ago, this one who is 100% God and 100% man, he'll be obedient even to the point of death, even death on a Roman cross, as he'll sanctify those simple pieces of wood as well. Yes, the Son of Man will be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He'll be lifted up high on that cross, and whoever believes in him will have eternal life. The question for you this morning is a very simple one. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you sanctified him in your heart? After hearing the good news that Emmanuel, God, is with us, that he's a shoot from the stump of Jesse, the one who will bring true peace through his death on the cross, the one born to a virgin as prophesied by Isaiah, sung about by the angels and by us today, the one witnessed by the shepherds in this sanctified manger, have you looked to him in faith? Turning away from your sins once and for all. Listen, he's the only one who can take your sins away. There is no other. He proved it, didn't he? He was obedient to the point of death, but what happened on the third day? He rose again. The grave could not hold him. He is stronger than the grave. He is stronger than death. He is stronger than Satan himself. And he is stronger than our sins. Hallelujah. What a Savior we worship today. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above all names. And even now, he sits as king at his Father's right hand. He is ruling us. He is defending us. He is conquering all his and our enemies. And one day soon, Jesus will come again so that his name and the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Those on earth, those in heaven, those under the earth, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is Jesus your king today? If not, bow the knee to the king. Kiss the son, lest you be angry and you perish in the way. If you will, this little one who sanctified the manger, he will sanctify you. He will change your life from the inside out. That's the good news of Christmas. That's our second point. Not only did Jesus sanctify the manger, Jesus sanctifies us, those who seek him by faith. You see, once Jesus saves us, his Holy Spirit comes into our lives. He transforms us. He sanctifies us. He renovates us. He restores us. He makes us holy. He makes us more and more like Jesus. That's what sanctification is all about. It's the ongoing work of God's free grace, whereby he renews the whole man in the image of God. That all of us, our thoughts, our emotions, our motivations, our words, and our actions, and in the image of our Lord, so that we're more and more able to die to sin and live under righteousness. Yes, once we meet Jesus, we're never the same. Isn't that what we see in this passage from the shepherds? Think about three ways that Jesus sanctifies these shepherds today. They all start with W, so it ought to be easy to remember. You can take this home with you. These are three Christmas presents, you might say, something you can kind of take home with you. He sanctifies our witness, he sanctifies our wonder, and he sanctifies our worship. Now look at the way that he sanctifies our witness in verse 18. The shepherds can't be quiet. They can't keep it to themselves. When they see baby Jesus, they witness. They make known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, we see in verse 17. And friends, it's our greatest joy, our highest privilege, to obey Christ's command, to preach the gospel, to share the good news as we go into the world each day. How can we keep silent when we've heard this glorious good news? And the more we grow in our sanctification, the more we become more like Christ, the more we're overwhelmed with who he is and what he's done for us, the more we want to tell others this good news. What are the things that we want to tell them more than anything else? Not only is Jesus our Savior when we first believe in him, when we first walk the aisle, sign the car, go through the communicants class, whatever it might be, but he's our Savior every single day. Because as Ted Tripp tells us, we need his rescue every single day. He's our anchor, our rock, our meaning, our purpose. In an ever-changing world, listen, that world can feel chaotic, can't it? It seems like it's moving at a rapid pace. But we have an anchor to help us in our family lives. Maybe today you're dealing with the death of loved ones, and you're hurting. Maybe you're becoming an empty nester and don't know exactly what to do with your time. Maybe you're finding financial challenges. You're making decisions about parenting that are really gut-wrenching. Maybe you're healing from divorce, or from childhood abuse, or from destructive sinful behaviors from your past that affect relationships in the present. Maybe it's various problems you're having at work, getting along with coworkers, earning enough to make ends meet, keeping the boss satisfied who has unrealistic expectations, or dealing with obnoxious customers during the Christmas season. I'm sure that's hard for anyone who's in retail. What an encouragement that Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us, and that we can run to him for a refuge when it all seems like too much. And how true that is when we're struggling with sin. As the old hymn says, Jesus cleanses us not only from sin's guilt, but also from its power. Now that's good news, isn't it? What a story we can tell to the nations that Jesus' love and power and his help is right here with us because he is God with us. So like these shepherds, let us not be shy, even as we attend Christmas gatherings tonight or tomorrow, or as we look toward the new year. Maybe the Lord will place you in some unexpected place. Share the good news of Christ's incarnation. Share the news of his birth, the story of the manger, the story of his life, death, and resurrection, and how he has saved you. May that be fresh upon your lips. May you give testimony to the way that he helps you every single day. May your heart and your mouth and your life overflow with witness. You know the best way for that to happen? Is if you're filled with wonder. This manger scene is filled with wonder, isn't it? And all who've heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. I was talking to a friend the other day. He reminded me, you know, Robert, we never actually graduate from the gospel, from the simple truth that Jesus is our Savior. We continue to believe in him. We continue to repent of our sins. and we continue to seek him. You see, the gospel, the love of Christ, according to the Apostle Paul, is immeasurable. His riches are unsearchable. You ever have a really good salad? I like that restaurant called Milano up there in Simpsonville. They have the best and biggest salad you've ever seen. Or maybe you like a big bowl of pasta, or one of those great bowls of chicken, rice, and vegetables at Tropical Grill. You know, one of those places. At first, it may not look all that big, but you start eating, and like 15 minutes later, you're still eating. Those are the best kinds. That's what it's like when we try to search out the riches of Christ in his word. We can never fully comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, because the love of Christ surpasses our knowledge. But friends, though we can never get to the outer limits of the gospel, there's no more worthy pursuit. And the more we gaze at the beauty of our Lord Jesus from all the scriptures, as we've done this morning, the more we are lost in wonder, love, and praise. And like Mary, we begin to treasure, to store these things, to hold on to the gospel more and more by faith, as Philip Ryken has written. And we begin to ponder and explore them, even the deep truths of the gospel, like election and predestination, like God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, like God's providence in the midst of very difficult circumstances, and how in the world these could all work together for good, or even how the persons of the Trinity relate to one another and relate to us. You see, our faith will seek understanding. So let me challenge you all here today. This is an area we can all grow in our sanctification, myself included, and that's to develop a sense of wonder in this new year. Not to let the gospel become old hat or ordinary or commonplace or even worse, neglected. But seek the Lord Jesus. Seek him in the Holy Scriptures where we can find him. If you don't already, will you purpose to read your Bible each day? If you need help in the new year, you know I'm here to help you with plans. I can get you started on that. It's like exercise. Don't try to go too far too fast. Start with something manageable, but as you read, pray that the Lord will give you a taste, a hunger for even more. Spend time meditating on his word, day and night. Pray back to him. Think about him. Constantly renew your mind in his truth. If you're already reading the Bible, why don't you add to it a little bit? Something like the Table Talk devotional, or listen to good Christian podcasts, if that's your thing and you spend lots of time in the car. Purpose to read some good Christian books in the new year. Again, I'm happy to help with suggestions. I'll be glad to order them for you. Just let me know what you're interested in. Maybe you're thinking about a particular aspect of theology or something about the Christian life, a Christian biography of a great saint, some church history, maybe even something about hymns or something like that. Maybe it's a counseling book that you'd like to have that will help you with a particular sin struggle or someone in your family. Not to mention there are tons of good internet articles out there. Just make sure you're looking at good, solid places when you go searching. You can read Really Safe with Ligonier. Also, Modernism, that's a good one. Third Mill, those are three good ones I'll throw out there. But if you need more help with that, let me know. Let's develop a greater sense of wonder this year. Like these shepherds, like Mary. You don't have to have all that other stuff. Just read the Bible, pray back, and think about Jesus. That's what you need to do. Let's think more about him and less about ourselves in the new year. Let's have his mind among us. May we be greater servants to our God, to one another, to a lost and dying world. Listen, we can do that, and the more we turn it over, it's like a precious, he's like a precious diamond. We see more and more facets of his multicolored wonder and of his glory and of his love toward us. May that be our work in this new year. And may our wonder not only fuel our witness as we tell others what we've been learning, may it also fuel our worship. There's probably no greater area that we all need to grow in than in our worship. But this is our primary purpose in life, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's what we, the shepherds, are doing. And the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen, as they've been told them. How can we not respond to Jesus, the one who sanctified the crude manger, the one who sanctified a cruel Roman cross, the one who sanctified a cold garden tomb, the exalted one who rose again? How can we respond to him in any other way but to worship him? Will you pray for a renewed heart this new year? A sanctified heart? To set apart one day in seven as our day of worship and rest? Will you purpose in your heart to be here unless you're sick or traveling? What a joy it is to have everybody here today. It's like a family reunion, an this is wonderful to see. And some of you have come from other places and are part of your family, and we're so glad that y'all are here today too. What a blessing. May every week, every Lord's Day, be a family reunion for you. Listen, there's no better place you can be with your family than in the pew with them. Let them know how much you love Jesus and how much you love them by bringing them to Jesus every week in worship. And will you pray that for the rest of this day, tomorrow, as you enjoy your Christmas, let it be filled with worship as you join with your family. I know this sounds cliche, but will you put Christ first this Christmas? Not trees, not Santa, not even those Christmas trees from Little Debbie, not all the delicious foods, though I plan to partake in a lot of that. Not even gifts, though they do and should reflect the greatest gift, our Lord Jesus. Because he's the one who sanctified the manger. May he continue to sanctify us, setting us apart, making us holy, so that our mouths might witness, so that our minds would wonder, and so that every emotion of our lives would worship Christ, the newborn King. Because Jesus sanctified the manger, so that we can never again think of a manger without thinking about Jesus. May the same be said of us, that people don't think about us without thinking about Jesus. Because we're sanctified, set apart unto him for love and for good works. And may we all enjoy a merry, merry Christmas as we witness to Jesus, as we wonder at Jesus, and as we worship in the presence of Jesus. Not only today and tomorrow, but for the rest of our lives and through eternity. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, our hearts are filled with good news today. We bless your name for sanctifying the manger with the fruit of the Virgin's womb. Your own Son, who's also the Son of David, our Savior, our Lord, and our King. As we celebrate Christmas today and tomorrow, may we sanctify him in our hearts and minds. May we put him first where he belongs, as Lord of our thoughts, our hearts, our emotions, our motives, our words, and our actions. May we speak of him early and often as we witness to one another, to our families, to a lost and dying world. May we sing and wonder at who he is and what he has done for us. May we never grow cold of the gospel. May we get lost in wonder, love, and praise. And may our worship be from the heart, and full of joy this Christmas as we bow down to King Jesus. Father, if any here today haven't received Christ as Savior and Lord, would you call them today to do so? We know that we are weak, but he is strong, and that he's come to do what we can't do, to save us from our sins. And when they put their full trust in Jesus, would you remove its guilt and its power? Father, we pray that you would be with any here who are struggling with sin. Would you be their refuge? Would you provide the way of escape and give them grace to accept it? Fill with assurance this morning those who are doubting. Return hope and comfort to those who are mourning, because Jesus, the light of the world, is here. Father, we pray for our nation today, as many will call out the name of Jesus, but their hearts are far from you. Would you spark revival in churches where the gospel is preached today or even read? Would the Spirit call many sons and daughters to glory? We pray that you would bring peace to our land through the gospel as we testify to the Prince of Peace. Oh Lord, be with those who are less fortunate. Help us to be generous and Christ-like in our service to our neighbors, even those who are our enemies. And may we all enjoy a Christ-centered, joy-filled Christmas as we represent Christ among the nations. In his glorious name we pray. Amen. In response to God's word, let us now confess our faith, saying the Apostles' Creed. Let's stand together as we do so.